Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Cinema Wave podcast. Our nerdy crew is back to discuss all of the happenings with Marvel and the boys at this year's Comic-Con panels in San Diego. I am one of your hosts. My name is Darian Scalamoni. I am joined this time by Michael Peniston.
Hello, everyone.
As well as Vinny Albano.
Hello, hello.
So let's start with the Marvel news. It is doomsday, officially. We are transitioning out of the Kang Dynasty to this whole new path in which Dr. Doom is going to be the big bad of the Infinity Saga, or the Multiverse Saga. And we got two major announcements in regard to that. So the first thing, which I alluded to, is that Avengers 5 is going to be titled Avengers Doomsday, and that has a release date of May 1st, 2026. It's going to be quicker than you think. Mm-hmm. And then we have, of course, which was already previously announced, Avengers Secret Wars is going to be May 7th, 2027. But the big news with that is that the Russo brothers, the messiahs of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, who previously directed Avengers Infinity War, Avengers Endgame, as well as Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and Captain America Civil War, will return to direct those two films, as well as one half of the team of McFeely and Marcus, Stephen McFeely, coming back to write the scripts for those two movies. But maybe the biggest news of all is that Robert Downey Jr. is returning to the Marvel Cinematic Universe to play Dr. Doom. Now, let's start with Michael, because I know he has strong opinions, and we all, I'm sure, do. I want to, ahead of that, just tell the audience, there's a lot of uncertainty that we don't know with this, and we'll get into the discussion of it. We don't know if he's going to be playing a multiversal Tony Stark. We don't know if he's going to be playing Victor Von Doom. Joe Russo announced him as Victor Von Doom, but who knows exactly who he's going to be playing. We don't have that information yet. We're not privy to that information yet. But Michael, when that announcement gets made and the reveal of Robert Downey Jr. taking off the mask at Comic-Con, what were your initial thoughts? And now that you've let it sit for a few days, where are you at with RDJ returning to the MCU?
So the initial thoughts when they first announced it, I was very, very, very upset. I was so mad. I thought it was the biggest sort of money sort of like scheme that you could have. And it would just felt like kind of lazy in my part. Like, I knew that there was talks of maybe bringing back those older OG heroes, but in my head, I kind of knew that like their characters were like cemented in like it's their legacy, and like why touch those at this point? So I was really good on them not coming back. Maybe like cameos here and there where they're still presenting themselves, you know, as those characters, but like quick cameos from past stuff like that. This I feel like is just like what are we doing here? Like, come on, like. And like Deadpool just came out and it was good, and now we're trying to do this. And so I don't know, I was really, really upset about it at first. Time has like obviously gone by since the announcement, and I will say I have now reached a 50-50 sort of place. I'm still kind of upset just because obviously it is still feels like a sort of scheme of like, as you want to put that, I don't know if it's whether it's bringing certain fans back or whether, I don't know. It still feels like a ploy, should I say. Excuse me. But I will say that I've heard more about certain comic storylines, and even just kind of like sitting and thinking about not only what they've already done in the past 2 years, I guess, but also thinking about the extent, I guess you could say, of, I don't know. I started thinking about the possibility, I guess, should I say, and like a lot of things, storylines, so many things. I started thinking about the fact that we've seen, maybe I shouldn't go too this far into it. I'm like really now starting to talk.
That's okay. We can transition into it in a few minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Cause there's a lot of theories. There's a lot of things we can get into.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah. Those are my initial.
All right. So you're 50-50 on it. Vinny, what about you?
I don't like it. I think I'm 100%. I don't like it, because in my opinion, like, if they do the variant Tony Stark thing, that's gonna be the biggest eye roll. I think it's gonna be the biggest disrespect to comic fans, because like we want to see Victor Von Doom. We don't want to see like a variant Tony Stark, and they're running. Like, Deadpool just came out, and even Deadpool made a meta joke making fun of the amount of misses that the multiverse saga has had so far. And I agree. I think the multiverse, I think the concept of the multiverse, although cool, it takes away stakes and it takes away the value of some of these stories, because if you could just pull a variant of Tony Stark back and, oh, he's back, it just completely devalues that sacrifice that he made in Endgame and the love of that character. And if this is going to be a variant Tony Stark, I think it's just disrespectful to the hype of, like, for years we've wanted an accurate Victor Von Doom, you know? And I think that we deserve that. And also, I think RDJ is an incredible actor, but to, like you said, Mikey, like, it feels like a ploy to just get fans and just, you know, get more money, because I think this would have been a perfect opportunity to bring a, even if they don't do the variant Tony Stark and this really is Victor Von Doom, this would have been a perfect opportunity to bring another great actor to the Marvel Universe and have another great actor shine, like we saw Josh Brolin shine as Thanos. We can have another Josh Brolin, you know, someone great to take this villainous role. I think, you know, like, I love RDJ, but, like, if you're going to use him again and again, like, it, his value as an actor, too, is kind of just, like, gets washed away, you know?
Yeah, I'm all over the place with this news, because on one hand, my initial reaction was very similar to both of you guys, where I was like, I don't like this, especially for the reason you just alluded to, Vinny, where it takes away the opportunity for another actor to shine in a role that is so integral, not only to Marvel Comics, but someone with where we're going with the storyline and where we're ending with Secret Wars, where Doom is such a massive part of that comic, and the Fantastic Four, we're getting that reboot upcoming next year in Marvel. As I've sat with it, I mean, the first thing, we were texting as soon as the announcement happened. It's hard for me to not put faith in the Russo brothers. And I know that they're not, and Stephen McFeely, but at the same time, I do understand that they had nothing to do with what has now come in this phase. And my biggest problem with the multiverse saga, as I've sat with it in recent days, is they've had some legitimate misses. Like, they've had some legitimate projects like Secret Invasion, namely, and the Marvels that just did not work for me. I didn't enjoy the process of watching them. And I was like, this is not the caliber I believed to be that Marvel is capable of. But the biggest thing for me in terms of this versus, like, the Infinity Saga is, like, in the Infinity Saga, we were seeing these stones being collected. There was always a conversation about how integral these stones were in the overall narrative. And we didn't even get Thanos, obviously, till later, like the real Thanos, Brolin playing Thanos. And with this, the version of the stones for this saga should be incursions. And we're seeing things happen that we could easily look at and be like, well, this is obviously, it can be an incursion, but we're not seeing the repercussions that those incursions have on the overall universe. And that's a problem, because we need to see the impact that these things are having. Like, the fact that, and these spoilers ahead for all the recent Marvel projects. So if you haven't seen them, whatever. Multiverse of Madness ends with Clea and Doctor Strange going to jump to universes to solve incursions. Well, all the events of Multiverse of Madness in and of themselves are incursions. All of Deadpool and Wolverine is a ginormous incursion. The whole thing is bringing in a whole different universe and dealing with the Void and bringing them into another world with the Sling Ring. I mean, the Celestials sticking out of the ground at the end of Eternals that we're finally going to get an answer to. Like, all of these things could be deemed as incursions for Earth 616 and the multiverse at large, but we don't have that playing out. So, as a whole, the saga has problems, right? But then you bring in a beloved face like Robert Downey Jr. and potentially a multiversal Tony Stark. And from a marketing perspective, for casual audiences, I can understand why it's such a big reveal. It's fucking Robert Downey Jr. And it's a guy that has such a footprint on Marvel, and he wants to challenge himself and play this different version of whether it's Victor Von Doom, which I wouldn't like. I would rather them save that now.
Yeah.
I would rather them do a multiversal Tony Stark, because at least then there are certain characters within this universe that there's going to be there's going to be a reaction. I mean, when Peter gets to see Tony, it's going to be crazy. When Strange goes and sees Tony, it's going to be crazy. When Clint sees Tony, Thor sees Tony, like there's a connective tissue and an emotionality to somehow this working. But overall, I do agree. Like, I don't know if they're going to follow the comics, but if you haven't read the end of Secret Wars, like we all get to one Earth and it's like, all right, so if they defeat a multiversal Tony Stark, are we never going to see a Victor Von Doom then? That's what I'm worried about. And then, because this is his big comic arc, like Secret Wars is his big thing. So there's a lot of hesitancy. There are things that I can understand why they're doing it. But a lot of things need to go the right way. Deadpool and Wolverine is a great win for Marvel, and we'll get into that too. And I know we're reviewing it, Mikey, later tonight. But it's hard to be so excited about this news because, I don't doubt that they went to certain actors. I don't doubt that. Like, I feel like they probably went to Killian, and Killian probably didn't want to do it. Like, the Marvel machine doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Glenn Powell's talked about it. Now Jeremy Allen White has talked about it. Like, he's like, I met with Marvel and I was like, fuck this. Like, I don't want to do this. So Robert Downey Jr. is the problem child of the MCU, and people love him, and the Russos, there's a connectivity there that we could start to see the magic of the phases 1 through 3 kind of come to fruition with him playing the role.
Yeah. I have seen, like I said, there's been a little bit more that I've seen since, and you've kind of touched on that, like the idea of like the multiversal sort of like Tony Stark. I know that there is a version of Tony Stark that is Victor
becomes Doom. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that like there are the possibilities, like you said as well, like the idea of seeing Spider-Man up against like something like that, or even his own daughter and Pepper at that point. Like there are certain ways that they can go about it that I do think that it could end up being one of the smartest things they could have done. I also agree that there is the idea, knowing that Secret Wars is following it and that Doom is still a part of Secret Wars, there is still the chance that he could just play like a villain that will shake up the Avengers the same way that Infinity War kind of shook them up, so that going into Endgame, they were all kind of like coming from a weak place. That could be like their weak place to kind of go into that and then still throw us a Victor Von Doom for Secret Wars. So I do see the idea of like them being able to work with all of this and still like have it come out the way we wanted to. I'm still so skeptical. I'm like,
yeah,
for sure skeptical. But there was another tidbit that I just had. If it comes back, I completely forgot. If it comes back to me at any point, I'll address it. But it could. Oh yeah, this was the other tidbit. The fact that you said, the Russo brothers are coming back, and knowing that they haven't touched a Marvel project since the last Avengers film. So, and that was the last time that Robert Downey Jr. was in a film. So like, it only made sense for them to continue that version of Robert Downey Jr.'s story, knowing that they last touched it. So I do think that there is the idea of it potentially maybe being good, even just because it's in their hands. And they like, at this point, I feel like really know how to like, how to care for that character at this point. And especially how they worked Endgame, you could see that they know how to work Iron Man as a character. But I'm still so skeptical.
Yeah.
So
and as crazy as this sounds, the Russo brothers need Marvel and Marvel needs the Russo brothers right now.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
And I think that there's certain projects which we'll get to, which we have a certain level of excitement for, but recent projects haven't led us to the feeling we had with phases 1 through 3 with Marvel. Mm-hmm. Vinny, what do you think about the Russos coming back?
I think that is a good idea. Like the Russos have shown time and time again, like you both of you guys have said, that they're great within the Marvel world. I don't know about Gray Man though, but
that's why I think they need Marvel. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's they lost a sense of themselves by going off and doing their own thing. But sorry.
No, you're good. Yeah, I honestly don't have too much to say about it. I am still kind of skeptical, though. Like, as much as I think they're great filmmakers, I think it's just really going to depend on the writing here. And it's going to depend on, you know, because you can have an amazing director, but if your story is shit, you know, I don't know if they're writing it too.
I think I had said it before, but if not, I apologize. Stephen McFeely, who's one half of the team that wrote the four movies that they directed, he by himself is coming back and writing these two films.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I remember you saying that. I apologize. Yeah. I don't really have many thoughts other than
we just gotta wait and see. We're in a wait and see period.
It's a time game.
It is. 100%. But that's our initial reactions to Robert Downey Jr. Being cast as Dr. Doom, as well as Avengers Doomsday and Avengers Secret Wars being announced officially. But we did get some looks at some of the upcoming Marvel films, so we want to take some time to discuss those. Let's start with the one that's going to be coming out the most recent, which is going to be in February. And it is Captain America Brave New World. We did get a teaser for it. It's online, obviously, the past one we got. And this is going to be the first film where Anthony Mackie is playing and Sam Wilson is playing Captain America fully. And we at Comic-Con, we didn't see this because we weren't there, unfortunately. But there was a full reveal of Harrison Ford becoming the Red Hulk. Obviously, recast as Thunderbolt Ross due to the loss of William Hurt. And we got the reveal that Giancarlo Esposito was going to play Sidewinder, who is the leader of the Serpent Society, which is a criminal enterprise that they want to they have a political agenda, essentially. And this movie, they had said, was in the same vein as Captain America Winter Soldier, which was very exciting to me because it's one of my absolute favorite Marvel movies ever. So I want to just, we'll start with Vinny. What were your thoughts on this panel, and what are your thoughts leading into Captain America Brave New World?
I'm interested. The teaser that they dropped I think a week or two ago, it looks interesting. However, I'm still like, I don't know. I have this general feeling for all of Marvel, and I think a lot of people share this feeling, is that, like I just said with the Dr. Doom debate, is that I'm skeptical. You know, like, I'm just really skeptical. I like Sam's character, but does Anthony Mackie have, like, that, like, leading power as an actor, you know? Well, I guess we'll see. I'm interested. I think that from the teaser that they dropped a bit ago, that I am excited to see Red Hulk. I think that's really cool. And that's something I've been wanting to see in a while. But also, like, the film hasn't, from what they've dropped and from what they've revealed, I'm still not, like, grasping at it. You know, I feel like there was a lot of emotional weight with something like The Winter Soldier and the you know, the character of Bucky. But with this, you know, they're introducing, it's, everything is new. So I'm not sure how or where I'm gonna get connected, if I do get connected to this plot or these characters. But yeah, I'm kind of skeptical still. Yeah,
Mikey, what do you think?
So when the first teaser trailer came out, I knew that I was pretty I'd say more intrigued. I wouldn't even really say I was excited. I was just intrigued because it did remind me of, like, a Winter Soldier type of film, which I feel like we haven't gotten in a while. Even Falcon and the Winter Soldier didn't even give me that sort of vibe. That was just more of, like, a grounded vibe. This is, like, the first, and maybe it's because it's a movie, but it's the first time I felt like that Winter Soldier type of vibe. So I was intrigued by that. There were a lot of small bits that also kind of intrigued me, coming off of that TV show. Now, like, seeing Sam in this position, I am curious to see how Anthony Mackie would do in, like, a lead position. I'm a bit worried. I don't think, as much as I'm excited, I don't think that he has that capability right now to really be, like, a lead sort of actor. But there are a lot of other components as far as, like, Red Hulk. I'm pretty sure the other villain that was from the original.
The leader, is that his name?
The leader, yeah.
Played by Tim Blake Nelson.
Yes,
from The Incredible Hulk, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which also, I believe, appeared on that panel. There were, like, a few things that really were just, it seemed really cool. I will say, I don't know if, like, this is, like, a bad thing to say, but I did happen to see, it's either AI, I don't know, it's either AI or it's what was maybe a potential screen grab of that full reveal of Red Hulk.
Interesting.
I'm not a fan.
I didn't see it.
I'm not. It genuinely.
See, I kind of wish I saw it now.
It genuinely, like, and again, it could have been because it's the internet. So, like, you, yeah. And that's, like, one of the hardest things throughout all of this is knowing what's real and what's not, especially with, like, an event like this. But the image I saw looked like it was a recording of the actual thing. And again, it just looked really weird to me. Like, again, I don't know if it's coming from a place where maybe the CGI is just not fully done, or because I knew the original teaser, like that first little grab wasn't also done, but it was enough to be like, why is he in this movie anyway? You know, and I was like this is all right, wait a sec. It made me question a little bit more, and that was one of the other components that was really making me really intrigued. Like, having Harrison Ford is like, what, that's awesome. And then to have him play a Hulk, like, okay, that's like Indiana Jones's Hulk. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But like, when I saw how they did that, it seemed like, again, like coming from a place that we've seen again with these previous Marvel projects of just, I don't want to say laziness, but like coming from such a timely, like needing to put things out quick, or however you want to put it, the CGI just not being up to par, let's just say.
Yeah,
you know, we've seen that a little bit more with a lot of like Ant-Man and projects like that.
We do have time though. It is August. It's gonna be August in a couple days, and the movie doesn't come out till February.
We do.
So there is some time, to be fair, and play devil's advocate.
Very, very harsh critique right now. Very, very harsh. But again, it was enough to at least make me question, why again is he in this film so late all of a sudden? And I don't know if they've put that information out already, or if that's just to watch the movie and find out. But it was just kind of like, oh, okay, like, I never really stopped to think, like, why are we getting Red Hulk right now all of a sudden?
I can spit, like, for my, I as I said, I love the Winter Soldier movie. I was a big fan of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier TV show. I know it's pretty divisive. What I will say, going back to, and I think, Vinny, you were the one who just brought this up, like, the thing with Winter Soldier is you had that connection already with Cap and Bucky that was established in the first movie, and this is going to be the start of potentially, or hopefully for them, a new trilogy for Captain America. And if you didn't see Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that's one thing, because there's going to be things that lead, I mean, you probably don't even know he's Captain America officially, because he became it with the whole John Walker thing. But I think the big thing in this film is going to be the effectiveness in which this guy was bestowed the Captain America honor, just because he took it, because John Walker obviously made a huge mistake. And I think the big thing with this is going to be the emphasis on race, because you see it even in the teaser with Isaiah Bradley, in the initial teaser where he gets up and there's like an assassination attempt on Ross. And I am curious if maybe that is something that leads into him giving himself Gamma. Like, that's a theory, but it's like the leader is somebody that obviously worked in a lab and he knows what it's like to surround himself with Gamma. And I wonder, I mean, we have an espionage aspect, we have the Serpent Society that's going to come in, and there's a lot of manipulation that can be had. There was a lot of that in Winter Soldier, and a lot of political perspective that was in Civil War, where you see Thunderbolt Ross as well being and now he's the president of the United States. So I am curious if maybe that's something where Harrison Ford's take on Ross is like, I need something to defend myself, because clearly, even though my Secret Service is around, I can't protect myself from a super soldier. So I like the direction they're going, and I feel the same way as you guys, though. I'm intrigued. I'm not necessarily excited. I'm on two sides with the Mackie thing, because I do agree. I don't think he's the strongest actor. However, and again, it's all about perspective and timing, right? Chris Evans, when he came in to do Cap, was also not a leading man. Like, he played Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four movies, but that was a supporting character, and he had never led a film really before. And Mackie had done, by the time he joined the MCU, he was in Hurt Locker, he was in
8 Mile.
That's right. He was in the one with Ryan Gosling, where he plays a main role, like one of the main roles.
Hef Nelson.
Yeah. So he could show that he's a very talented actor. I think the bigger thing with it is, can he hold the mantle of Captain America? And that's a lot of what is actually emphasized in Falcon and Winter Soldier, the TV show. So I'm curious to see what happens with that. But that's pretty much all the news we got on Brave New World. Transitioning into another film that I feel like is the one that is not being talked about, and I am curious on your guys' thoughts, Thunderbolts. So we got some footage for Thunderbolts. There was a description that was out, and a lot of people on social media were saying that they compared it a lot to James Gunn's version of the Suicide Squad, which is interesting, and it's a different tonal shift for the MCU. It's a movie that has a big ensemble, a lot of characters that we've seen previously that are all being brought in by Allegra Valentina de Fontaine, played by Julie Louis-Dreyfus. We have Red Guardian, played by David Harbour. We have Yelena, Florence Pugh. We have Taskmaster from Black Widow. We also have Bucky coming into this. Who am I forgetting as a member of this team? Ghost from the Ant-Man films. And we also had some of the other characters on stage as well. But are you excited for this film? And what do you what's your expectation level for this film, Mikey?
I remember like when this first was announced being a lot more excited. I know it's gone through a lot of rewrites since. I think that there were a few other confirmed characters that they have since taken out. Like I think Abomination was supposed to appear in this film. And then they took him out. So I will say that it's not that I'm not excited. It's just that I still don't know enough. Like that is one thing I for sure haven't seen any leak or AI image or anything online. Like I haven't seen a thing about the Thunderbolts other than the logo. And so I'm curious. I'm more so curious because it's, again, going into a Marvel project where it's like you really don't know. Like almost like that feeling of going into Guardians of the Galaxy the first time when like you really like I mean, like obviously if you knew the comics, but I personally didn't.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I have no idea what this is. And I
walked. Well, Gunn also took that in a very different direction than what the comics were.
Exactly. And to hear that this movie is being compared to a James Gunn film, I'm like, okay, that could then be kind of what I'm liking. I'm also getting the idea that though those are the main ensemble, I do think that it is going to be similar to Suicide Squad, where maybe we will get a bunch of other like characters that we don't realize will appear in this, and maybe they will die off quick, or maybe things like that sort of thing. So I don't think it will just be that ensemble. I think we will, because I've noticed this sort of trend lately with Marvel where you are going to get a cameo of something, whether it's an old Avenger or somebody new or something. So I see something like that happening, well, which excites me more.
I'm not sure if you guys also saw, but on the panel, there was something asked to Sebastian Stan directly, and he says, you know, it's kind of crazy. It's like, this guy's got nine lives, right? At some point, he's got to be able to, like, alluding to the fact that Bucky might die off in this film, which was an interesting tidbit. And the other thing with that, for the specifics, people might not know this, but Sebastian Stan signed a 9-film deal with Marvel. So it's interesting that to use that that sort of thing. I know it's a figure of speech, but the 9 lives, could we see Bucky die off in this film? Bucky's one of my favorite characters in the MCU, so I don't know how I'd feel about it, but if it has this overall bigger arc for Marvel, I am curious. But I agree with you, Mikey. I haven't felt this way since the first Guardians, where I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think there are certain actors and characters in this film that I am intrigued to see. I really love Florence Pugh's portrayal as Yelena thus far. I love her version of the character. I think she's a fantastic transition from ScarJo to even maybe a better portrayal of a Black Widow in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, but there's other characters like Taskmaster didn't work for me. Ghost is not a villain that really worked for me. I don't have a lot of love built up for those characters. A lot of the castings I was excited for this movie left the project. I mean, Steven Yeun was supposed to play Sentry, and now that's not happening. Iowa Debris was supposed to play Geraldine Viswanathan's character, which is rumored to be Songbird, and she's no longer in the film. And they're two acting powerhouses compared to what we have now, and that's no discrediting for the other actors that were brought in. But they're a different level to me. So I am curious, again, hearing that there's a James Gunn tone is exciting to me. I think they've been missing the fun in Marvel, and Deadpool and Wolverine does a great job of filling that void. But I don't know. Vinny, I'm very curious on your thoughts. What do you think about Thunderbolts?
Yeah, I think it's cool that we're getting a more edgier side of things. You know, they teased it at the end of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, where you had that Julie Dreyfus's character takes what's his name, the other quote-unquote Captain America,
John Walker, yes,
takes John Walker and basically like teases the Thunderbolts. excited to see Florence Pugh again. Although I really disliked Black Widow. I really disliked that film. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't like how they treated Taskmaster's character. I think Taskmaster is a really cool character that was wasted in that film. So I don't know if this is going to be a revamped Taskmaster per se, or they're going to just continue with the same thing that was going on in Black Widow. If they do, that's going to be kind of disappointing. Like, so there's a lot of hit and miss here. I think that if they try too hard to try to get the James Gunn energy, it's going to be a flop. But if they do something, you know, I like the edgier perspective of things. You have like a group of edgier characters,
a team of misfits.
Yeah. And if they just kind of, it's hard to say as of right now. You know, we've got basically nothing to the public, so it's hard to say. I'm intrigued, but also, like, I don't want them to become a parody of the Suicide Squad or James Gunn. I really liked James Gunn's Suicide Squad. I thought it was funny. I thought it was great. And if they see the success of that and be like, oh, well, we don't have Gunn anymore, so we're going to try to, you know what I mean? Then again, we're also basing all of this off of just general audience who was at the panel.
And a description of what the trailer was.
Yeah, so it might not actually be any of that. It might, you know, this is just kind of going off of a game of telephone of like, oh, they said this. So, right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I am intrigued, like I said, to see this edgy cast of characters.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there was one last film that we got to see a little bit of, and it did leak online, so might not be available anymore if you're watching this, but we did watch a little bit of Fantastic Four First Steps, which just began filming last week, and it stars Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, also known as Invisible Woman, Joseph Quinn, best known for Stranger Things and A Quiet Place, Day One, playing Johnny Storm, a.k.a. Human Torch, and of course, everyone's favorite, Evan Moss Backrack, playing Ben Grimm, The Thing. But there's other casting announcements that have been announced for this film. John Malkovich is going to be playing an undisclosed role. I want to get the actor's name right, who is playing Galactus, who also you get a very quick glimpse at the end of the trailer of his character. As I look this up, but we did get a first look and it was online and it leaked. But Vinny, I want to start with you, because this is a film that needs to get a lot right for Marvel.
Yeah.
And they're the first family of Marvel, and the film takes place in a 1960s retro futuristic, different universe. By the way, the actor's name is Ralph Ineson. I apologize. Natasha Leone and Julia Garner also cast, and Paul Walter Hauser. Crazy cast for this film. But Vinny, your thoughts on the footage that we had a chance to watch and your thoughts on this film going forward as the last release for Marvel in the theaters in 2025.
This is the one that I am really excited for. I feel like this is the only one out of the Marvel projects that I'm not like skeptical about, because one, the cast is great. You got Pedro, you got Vanessa Kirby, you got Evan Moss Bacharach, and Joseph Quinn. Like, it's great. That is amazing casting, just through and through. So I am very excited for this, and also they're going with the, like you said, the retro futuristic 1950s vibe. The aesthetic is great. The footage that we got to see is really playing into that. I'm very excited. And finally, my like 8-year-old self is so excited because we finally saw Galactus.
Yeah.
And that excites me so much, because since I was really young, I've loved the idea of Galactus and how cool he was. And in Fantastic Two, Rise of the Silver Surfer, they didn't do Galactus right. He was just like a floating...
A giant storm cloud.
Yeah, it was this giant storm cloud. But now, like, get it. It's so cool. It is so cool. I want him to eat planets. I want him to just fuck shit up. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited.
I agree wholeheartedly. The cast is fantastic, like you said. I think the thing... No pun intended. The footage revealed something that just felt very fresh by MCU standards. And Matt Shakman comes in to direct this film after doing WandaVision, which I don't love WandaVision as much as a lot of people do, but I really love the ideas of WandaVision. I love the look of WandaVision and the concept for it. And so much of that is based in the direction, right? And so I do think this is a really fun film for Shakman to take on as his feature debut in the MCU. The footage is something that, I mean, even after like a week of filming, it's been like, it's so cool to see. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, I was incredibly skeptical. I might have been more skeptical as Pedro as Reed than I am of RDJ as Doom. And I think a big part of that, which we discussed previously, Michael, is oversaturation. I mean, I do like Pedro as an actor. I really do. I think he's fantastic as Joel on The Last of Us. I really enjoy him playing Din Djarin in The Mandalorian, but he's everywhere. I mean, he's going to be in he's the villain in Gladiator 2. Like, he's going to be in like six indies in the next 3 years. Like, the guy's everywhere. But after seeing the footage, and though it is limited, I like the vibe. I like where they're going for. And the one thing I really appreciate, and you can see it even in the panel, is that they have to be a family. It's a very important aspect of making the Fantastic Four work, is they have to be a family. And these four actors seem like they've already kind of embodied that. They've had a group chat for months. I know they've been talking about it. There's been jokes online and certain things where Eben, I mean, like, there's just details about this project that make me excited. Eben, Mark Ruffalo reached out to Eben about the motion capture. Joseph Quinn joked about how he's been saying flame on for an hour a day every day since he was cast in the role. Like, that's important. Like, there's a lot of enthusiasm surrounding these characters and these actors playing these really important, crucial characters in Marvel Comics that are coming to the MCU proper now, finally. And the Galactus footage is awesome. Very excited to see when we get Julia Garner's take on Silver Surfer, which we didn't get a look at, but lots to be excited about with this. This is probably my favorite part of the panel. Michael, what about you?
You know, I 100% am very excited for this. I could say that initially I was excited for the Fantastic Four to be joining the MCU and to see a new take on it. I was very disappointed with Pedro's casting and Joseph's casting, to be honest. I think for Joseph, it was mostly just coming off of a place of only knowing him from Stranger Things. I will say, since that, he's like kind of appeared in a lot of other projects, and even like the quick snippets you saw of him in the Gladiator trailer, I'm like, all right, this guy can act a little bit. I see like I could see the other sides to him. So I'm definitely a lot more intrigued with his character, and I could see him definitely playing a pretty good Johnny. I still don't fully know about Pedro. I will say, seeing the leaked footage, I'm a little bit more okay with him. I think that, I mean, we all know he's not a bad actor, so we all know that it's not going to be a bad performance. I never knew if it was fully going to be Reed Richards. And it seems like, based off this leaked footage, we are getting a different version. It seems like even his approach is a little bit different than I've seen in other Pedro performances, which I feel like, can, as good as they are at times, they can be very repetitive at times with his performances. I'm actually a lot more intrigued now with this project, especially coming off of the information we've gotten. Like you said, there's been a little bit more promo now, so you've seen them together, and I think that definitely helps the marketing of it all. I can see that, and it resonates well with me. I'm excited for this project.
Awesome. Well, that is all the Marvel coverage. And really quick, we're just going to go through, if you guys haven't checked out, we have all our coverage on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts of The Boys Season 4, wrapped up a couple weeks ago. That's all on the channel and those streaming platforms for you guys to check out. But The Boys also got a massive Comic-Con panel with a lot of things that were announced. One of the things I want to start with is Vought Rising, the prequel series that was announced, that is going to star Jensen Ackles as well as Aya Cash returning and their roles as Soldier Boy and Stormfront in this prequel series that is going to take the audience back to the 1950s in the early days of the Corporation of Vought, and Stormfront's old identity is Clara Vought. Eric Kripke will return as the showrunner, which I think is a huge thing, being able to bring in the same voice that's been consistent throughout all of the boys. Vinny, I know this is one you were particularly excited about, so I would love to hear your take and what you think about the Vault Rising.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm like, I really enjoyed Jensen. I think Jensen Ackles is awesome. I enjoyed his portrayal of Soldier Boy in season 3 of The Boys, and also Aya Cash. Like, both of those characters, respectively, I think made season 2 and season 3 of The Boys. Like, they're just so villainous and so disgusting, and their actors do so much justice to their characters that having a show like this is really interesting. Also, I know that in the description it talked about a murder mystery aspect. So seeing a murder mystery playing out within not only like the early foundations of Vought, and then on top of like Stormfront being a Nazi and Soldier Boy being like a white supremacist, like crazy, you know, just I'm really interested what direction they're going to go with that. I think the biggest thing, though, and I've seen a lot of people talk about it online, the biggest thing that people are concerned is like the boys have been satire on Marvel and like mocking Marvel's quantity-esque like consumerism hype, like just throwing movies and shit. And now like they're slowly becoming that, right? Because now like they have The Boys, Gen V, Vault Rising, and then the other one, The Boys Mexico that they talked about.
Plus Diabolical.
Yeah, and Diabolical. So I think if Eric Kepke, if he keeps his voice going, because he has a lot to say, and I think the fact that he's showrunner on this is really good, because I think his satire and his commentary on modern day politics and America in The Boys and in Gen V, and knowing that he is involved directly in this project, will be great. I think that's what gives me hope, and that's what gives me that's what has me excited.
Yeah, I feel similar. I going off what you said, I thought that Jensen and Aya's performances were so great in seasons 2 and 3. And we get that one episode in season 3 where it takes you back in time, showing you Soldier Boy and his impact. I think it's the Vietnam War, right? Is that they're at like a Vietnam War camp?
Yeah, with Black Noir.
With Black Noir. And it's like it was one of my favorite episodes of TV that year. It was so good. so to get a little bit more of an exposure on that, I think is great. And I really loved Aya Cash's portrayal of Stormfront. And it kept I'm upset because I like loved her performance. I was really keeping my eye out for a lot of things that she was going to do in the future. And I fortunately haven't seen her in a lot since then, which this is going to be cool to give her that platform, and Ackles to have a show to lead is going to be really cool. And we're going to get him coming back in season 5 of The Boys. So I'm excited. I'm excited for it. I think it's cool to set this universe in a different era once again in the 1950s. I can totally understand the criticism online, Vinny, and you echoing them now completely cannibalizing exactly what they were joking about becoming. But at the end of the day, I'm not surprised. It's the most successful show on Amazon. It's a superhero based show. So there's a lot of different directions they can go, and there's always going to be more heroes. There's always going to be more to come or more things to happen. I do think this is smart to go in a prequel direction. But I wish they kind of kept it to these three. Though when we get to The Boys Mexico, there's an aspect of it that I am excited about, but I don't know how they start to intertwine that other kind of stuff in the main narrative. But Michael, what do you think about Vault Rising?
I'm excited for Vault Rising. I was always very interested with Soldier Boy's character. I loved him last season. Oddly enough, I enjoyed Stormfront's performance and just the character having her there. I'm not that excited about her performance in the show. I'm not to say I'm not excited. It's just like her being there is like, oh, cool. Like, okay, that's really cool. I think more so, and maybe that could just be me forgetting how much of a role she played towards the end of that season of The Boys that she appeared in. I might have to go back and just like retouch on that. Because I do actually, now I'm thinking about it, I think that she was like, they were all fighting her at one point. Like she was a very powerful threat. So I can see her being very interesting. Also, the fact that her and Homelander had a relationship, and knowing that Soulja Boy and her are coming from the past, they could have had a relationship. And that whole storyline is like just very boys-esque. So it's like that could be really funny to see. So there are, it is, I'm definitely intrigued in it. It is also, like you said, it was very smart for them to go in a prequel sort of way, especially coming off of Gen V and having that kind of represent, I guess, the future of the boys almost. And we need to kind of know. There's so much to Vought. And like that you said, that one episode where you kind of saw a little bit of like the early stages of Vought and like Soulja Boy and like Noir and everybody and like the war front ground. You could see that like that story could fully be expanded on. Even seeing like a young version of what's his name? He's in jail. He's
Stan Edgar. Giancarlo Esposito's character. Stan Edgar.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Just because I felt like that actor like was spot on with his performance. Like there's so much they could do just to show how Vought got to where it was. And even just that world, because I'm sure that there weren't as many soups coming off of that time, you know? So like how come the V really started to become more public accessible, and like this, the rise of even just like scientific tests and how babies started kind of getting put up to for those tests. Like they could really dwell into all of that. So I think that's really interesting. I hope they don't milk it, like you said. I think we, a part of us all knew that was going to come, like you said. I just hope that, like, it would be cool if they kept it with this. And, like, maybe then, like, the boys New Mexico.
The boys Mexico, yeah.
The boys Mexico is just, like, its own storyline sort of thing, you know? And so, like, that, and that would be cool, too.
Yeah. Well, transitioning to that quickly, just, I mean, there's not, we didn't get a crazy amount of detail, but Gen V season 2 is going to come out 2025. The boys final season's coming out 2026. So keep your eye out for that, and we'll give you guys any news updates we get on those shows. But The Boys Mexico was the other one that, it was previously announced in November of 2023. But it has the least amount of details sort of to it. Kripke has talked about how he's going to be involved along with Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg to some capacity. And they suggest that it might have subtle connections with The Boys, but the story details are not confirmed with us. The writer of the series is going to be a gentleman by the name of Gareth Dunnett Alcazar. The reason why I'm excited for it, at least slightly, is because Diego Luna and Gael Garcia Bernal are executive producers on the show. And I think they're both fantastic talents. Diego Luna, obviously best known for being the lead in Andor. Gael Garcia Bernal, for your nerdy people, played Jack Russell, aka the werewolf in Werewolf by Night. And he's a fantastic actor. So I'm excited for that aspect of it. But I'm curious on where they're going to go with it, because there's not a lot of, like, we don't know if it's a standalone thing, like you said, Michael, where I hope they go in that direction where we get a completely different story. But if it's going to connect to The Boys in some possible way, it's like, how does that happen, you know? So again, not a lot of details, but based on what we know, what are your thoughts, Michael?
With The Boys
Mexico,
I feel like it will again be its own sort of thing. Other than that I really have no idea what it could be. I think it could just very well be a Spanish interpretation of The Boys, you know? Like there's like a whole, obviously, like Mexico, like that's a whole separate entity in itself, you know, over there. So like there is a lot that they could play with that. If you want to go as far as having it be a situation where it becomes a Mexico and then like versus the States, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like you want, if you want to get that political, they have that option. Technically, it's not like The Boys hasn't gone political. So I feel like they could go as far as something like that. And you see how it's like, cause I mean, like we've only really seen the world of The Boys in the city that they're in. Maybe like they'll touch a few other areas of travel or anything like that, but like we don't really even know the world of The Boy, like, you know what I'm saying? Like it could fully be like this everywhere sort of thing. So it's like they're who's to say that there wouldn't be a
like the walking dead effect,
exactly,
essentially.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's like technically like they could do this in any territory of the world if they wanted to, because like so many different territories have so many different cultural backgrounds and everything, and like they all could just represent their own show itself. And so there is that idea. And then like maybe even having like a boys where all of the, it's like a World War Boys sort of thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, who knows? The ideas are the
possibilities. Endless, are endless, yeah, possibilities. Yeah. Yes, yeah, yes, for sure. Vinny, what about you?
Yeah, I'm interested. I don't know if we want to go into talking about Gen V, but for The Boys Mexico, I think that the casting is really great. And, you know, having Diego on there is really cool. And, but we just have no other details to really comment on. I think that I'm curious, like both of you guys echoing like what both of you guys said, curious how it's going to play into the world of The Boys and like just the connectivity between the regular show and Gen V. And what is soon to become Vault Rising. I don't have much else to comment. But do you want to talk about Gen V, though?
For Gen V season 2?
Yeah.
We can jump into it. But do you are you aware of the details that might have come out of it?
I read on Twitter. I don't know how true it was. I technically don't have Twitter. It was a screenshot of a tweet.
Posted
on Instagram. But I just finished Gen V. And I'm curious your guys' theories on where they're going to go with this, because the characters were left off in a cell with no doors, and that's how it just ended, like that cliffhanger. And we unfortunately do not have Chance with us anymore. Chance. I didn't want to butcher that in any way. But I'm curious. I read on this screenshot, and like I said, I don't know how true it is, but that in the sneak peek shown, they are now there's like a segregation on the campus between humans and supes, and that humans have to wear H's to know that they are humans and you know, just segregate them from the supes. Also read that Kate, the main cast is brought on a prison bus back to campus, and Kate takes them out of the, and meets them outside of the prison bus. Like I said, don't know how true this is, but, I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts.
So I didn't have a chance to see or read the details of the panel. Gen V was a very nice surprise for me last year. I was excited for it, knowing it was a Boys spinoff, but no real connection to The Boys until we get to the finale. Other than what, obviously, and we get to see Victoria Newman throughout that show, but we get the reveal at the end of the show, which I won't spoil for anybody, that there's a big connection to the overall world. I'm excited to see where they go from it. I do like how we're getting that season sandwiched in between the final season of The Boys. I think it's a really good buffer in between, and to set up the implication that they're going to play, because we see characters from Gen V in the season 4 of The Boys. But I have no theories, because I haven't really thought about it that deeply in that way. I don't know. I know you're a huge Gen V fan, Michael, so I don't know if there's specific theories that you've been thinking about since the end of the show, or anything based on what Vinny has just told us.
Off the top of my head, I really didn't. Honestly, for me, I remember following the watch of Gen V. I did have some theories, and then the few theories I did have were all kind of like thrown out the door once Chance passed away, just because. Then it was like, all right, I know that I heard that they were like rewriting a lot of it.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, I was like, wow. So honestly, like, just because his character, I mean, like, I can see how they can do without his character moving forward. But the place that they were left off at like it seemed like he was kind of essential in that group. And he was also one of their strongest. And so I don't know. I guess like at the time, it kind of just like took me out of whatever sort of theory I could see happening. And I don't know if I did that just so that I could maybe go into it with like a new sort of eye,
a fresh eye. Like how they had to rethink everything.
Exactly. I do think that it will act as, like you said, like that buffer. I think that it will play a major role into setting up their participation in the boys. I do think that we may have seen some characters already that have gotten introduced that could have some, you know, like connection to them. Sister Sage is still fairly young, I'm pretty sure. Like, I think that he got her, Homelander recruited her while she was still at school. No, I'm pretty sure.
I'm not sure.
But no, well, not in the show. Not in the context of the show.
Okay.
She's just in her apartment, just sitting there.
But she was still like young, like A-Train's age. And A-Train is also still fairly young, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't know their particular ages, but I don't think she was like a Gen V.
She wasn't that for sure.
Yeah. But she was like a recent graduate or something.
We don't know if like the extent of like
her connection to things.
Like there could just be greater connections now coming off of this season of The Boys, mm-hmm. And everything that we have. So I don't know. I think that again, the possibilities are kind of endless, especially now that they're kind of rewriting it. I don't know what they could do exactly with it, other than bring them to the boys and have them all fucking kill Homelander.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see.
There was a lot. We covered a lot, and that's only two of the panels that happened at San Diego Comic-Con this year. We didn't get a lot of information on the DCU. We did get a trailer for The Penguin, which we'll be covering on the network. It comes out September 19th on HBO Max, so we're looking forward to that. And also the first trailer for Creature Commandos, which James Gunn has a direct influence on. But we didn't get anything else other than the reveal of the DC Studios logo. So sorry for you DC fans, we're not covering that stuff today, but we will definitely cover that stuff going forward, as we do love DC as well. But that's all the stuff Marvel that we got. That's the stuff The Boys that we got, and we're big fans of The Boys here, so we definitely wanted to highlight that stuff for you guys. But we hope you guys enjoyed this. Please be sure to like this video if you can and comment your thoughts. Let us know, especially, what do you guys think about Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom? That's what we really want to hear, your thoughts in the comments. I know it's divisive. A lot of people really dislike it, but I've seen that there are people that really, really love the choice. What do you guys think about Captain America Brave New World? We got a teaser already. Are you excited for the Thunderbolts? Did you check out the leaked trailer for Fantastic Four? And what do you think that first look was like? As well as the plans for The Boys. Do you guys agree with sort of the worries that Vinny has, that they're trying to do too much too quickly? Do you want to see them expand this universe? And it makes sense for Amazon to do that. We'd love to have a conversation with you guys in the comments, so please be sure to comment your thoughts down below. And if you guys can subscribe to us, we have the Culture Wave Media Network. We cover all things film and TV. Our Deadpool and Wolverine review is up on the channel as of right now. Our spoiler review, but we start with non-spoiler thoughts before we go into our full-length spoiler conversation, so be sure to check that out. Also cover Cobra Kai. We have our review up for season 3 of The Bear. We did our coverage of The Boys, The Acolyte, a bunch of stuff. Other stuff going forward, so please be on the lookout for that. And if you guys want to follow us on social media, if you don't already, you can follow us at Cinema Wave Media and at _CultureWaveMedia on Instagram, as well as at Cinema Wave Media on TikTok and Threads, and then just Culture Wave on Facebook. I am signing off. I am Darian Scalamoni.
I'm Mikey Peniston.
I'm Vinny Albano.
And we'll see you guys next time.
This is The Culture.